Bobby Bridger began his recording career in 1967. He's worked in theater, film, and the visual arts as a painter. He's the author of the epic trilogy, A Ballad of the West, along with the award-winning Buffalo Bill and Sitting Bull Inventing the Wild West, and the autobiography Bridger and Where the Tall Grass Grows, Becoming Indigenous, and the Mythological Legacy of the American West. Mr. Bridger is a distant relative of the renowned mountain man Jim Bridger, who spent a fair amount of time in Wyoming during the 19th century, establishing the trading post in the 1840s at Fort Bridger. Bobby Bridger has a new album out entitled Vagabond Heart. A pleasure to talk with you, Mr. Bridger.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk to you, Graydon. Please call me Bobby. I've never been anything but Bobby. I'm not a Mr. Bridger.
All right. Well, Bobby, what is your family relation to Jim Bridger?
He is a distant cousin. I thought for many years I had done a lot of genealogical research on my own, and about 5-6 years ago, I came in contact with the National Bridger Family Association, and they have quite a team of talented genealogists at their disposal, and we kind of figured out that as close as we can that I'm a cousin.
Certainly a long line and a colorful history. Well, you're living in Texas, but you've certainly spent a lot of time in Wyoming. You were an artist in residence at Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks, and you were the first poet balladeer in residence at the Buffalo Bill Historical Center in Cody. What was your experience like as an artist in residence at the parks and also the museum in Cody?
Well, I came up my parents lived in Gillette for a while right before I was born, and essentially I was created up there.
Yeah.
But I came back for the first time in 1972, and I went through the park and into Cody, and I just fell in love with the region, as most people do when they see it. And I started coming back. I was on RCA Records at the time, and I'll never forget, I was offered a slot on a very important television program out in Hollywood at the time, and I had already booked myself in the Tetons at the Grand Teton Lodge Company for the summer, and my manager in Hollywood thought I had lost my mind. But there's one in Wyoming, and I said, there's enough for me. That's what I'm interested in.
That's great.
I think that ended my association with a lot of the people in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But it opened my it was my introduction to Wyoming, and I figured out a way to get there every time I could from that time forward. And by 1974, I guess it was, I befriended Bob Edgar up in Cody, who created Old Trail Town up there. And through Bob, I was able to meet a lot of people in the history areas and painters and sculptors and all sorts of Wyomingites. And I met Peter Hasrick through Bob. And Peter was just coming in as the director of the museum at the time. And the museum was very small at that time. And he said, I want you to come up and do your show here. And they didn't have a place to even put me up at the time, so Bob put me up, and I stayed in one of the cabins at Old Trail Town. And that was the first, I was the first resident artist, I think, that they had there. And that led to all sorts of other things. But the residencies in the Tetons in Yellowstone occurred during the Wyoming Centennial in 1990. And that was when I took a full company of 26 actors, singers, and dancers, and the tech crew, and whatever. And we did the first ever professional theatrical tour of Yellowstone and all the amphitheaters. And then we came back in 92 and did the same thing again. And 91, we came back in 91 and did another tour. So, and in between, I did years of doing my one-man shows all over the state, a lot of time in Green River performing there. And, of course, at Fort Bridger Rendezvous many for 12 consecutive years there.
Lots of time in Wyoming. Of course, we have the 100th anniversary of the National Parks coming up next year. And both Yellowstone and Grand Teton, I'm sure Yellowstone, they're having record crowds consecutive years. So a lot of folks still enjoying the parks, no doubt, and that will continue.
Well, my heart, part of my heart is always there, and that vagabond heart, I guess you could say.
Well, tell us about the new album, Vagabond Heart. From listening, it sounds like all the songs, or most of the songs, tie together quite well.
Well, that's funny. You're the first person to pick up on that, Grady, and I'm very happy you've done that. Yes, there is a theme running through that whole, all the songs about the heart and about instinct and about following your instincts and about listening to your heart and avoiding the shadows that pull you down into the darkness and so forth. It's there is a theme running through the whole record that way.
The opening song, Absorca or Absoroka, or I think you got the Slim Pickens pronunciation too. Absorki?
Absorki. Slim has his family still has a cabin there in Buffalo, I think. On a boulder is where it is. Near the Wind Rivers. And he always called it Absorki. He loved Wyoming, Slim Pickens did. Oh, boy.
Tell us about that song. And is it also from the musical Pahaska?
Yeah, it's from Pahaska. It's from the end of it's from the very end of my Buffalo Bill epic. And it has to do, after he's had his career, everything has come to an end. He's lost his name to charlatans, everything, and he's going home to the place he loves the most, Absorca or Absoroka, depends on which side of the mountain you're on, if I'm correct with my Wyoming lexicon. Ironically, that song says a lot about the way I feel and the way I'm sure Buffalo Bill felt about that region, that it ties into the whole sensual experience in a mystical kind of a way.
Kiss the clouds as they go drifting by. Golden eagles soaring upward, drawing lazy circles in the sky. The forest sings of wilds, the prairie sings of space, the river sings of freedom, the wind sings with grace, sing with grace. I'm bound for Yellowstone and the high plains of Absaroka. Ancient canyons beckon with all mysteries and riddles etched in time. Luscious, pristine valleys welcome wonders, light images. The wood sings of growing, the water sings of birth, the rock sings of endurance, the heavens sing with earth. I'm bound for Yellowstone and the high plains of Absaroka. I'm overburdened, in need of spiritual repair. I simply close my eyes, open my heart, and I am there. Dance across the sky in every sunrise and sunset, taking mortal breath away, gazing at the heavenly palette. The heart sings of vision, the mind sings of scope, the hands sing of working, the spirit sings of hope, sing of hope. Bound for Yellowstone in the high plains of Absaroka. I'm bound for Yellowstone in the high plains of Absaroka.
That's Bobby Bridger with Absaroka from the new release Vagabond Heart. Bobby, you worked with award-winning producer and musician John Inman?
Oh, yes, John. John's my best musical friend of the last 45 years, and we worked hand-in-hand on this record. And I think when we met 45 years ago, I was just coming from both Nashville and Hollywood, where I'd been recording all of my stuff before I moved to Austin, and I think when we met, he was one of the first musicians I met in Austin. I think we knew then that we were going to make a record, just the two of us, one day, and it took us a long time. He had to go around the world several times with Jerry Jeff Walker, and if you know Jerry Jeff's reputation, that means three or four times more than one or two times.
Yeah.
As well as with countless other musicians. He's in Europe right now with Jimmy LaFave, and so I'm home working on booking for our springtime.
Great. Were there some ideas that John brought in production that you may not have considered?
Well, John made me consider a record in the first place because I had retired. See, I retired Seekers of the Fleece, the story of Jim Bridger and Hugh Glass and the Mountain Men in 2011, and I gave my buckskins on a unlimited loan to the state of Wyoming for exhibition at Fort Bridger in the museum there, and that I knew that would prevent me from ever being tempted to put them back on and start playing Jim Bridger again, because I played Jim Bridger for 40 years. All over the world, and it was time for me to not do that anymore. And John was probably the only person in the world who could suggest to me at that point, because my old mentor Fred Carter had passed on, that I needed to get back into the commercial record business and go back into the studio and make a studio album again. And so that's where John came in, and we agreed to co-produce it. And yes, we both brought different ideas to the project, and then Gabe, my son, brought quite a bit in also.
Yeah, I see you collaborate with him on at least a couple of the songs. Did he perform and sing or do any writing?
Well, he performed penny whistle parts, and he did, except for Star Chasers and What You Resist Will Persist, he did 90% of the background vocals. I only did a couple of songs where I added a different harmony part, but aside from that, it's all Gabe. So he structured and worked with John mostly from their point of view to create these background harmonies and so forth. And I wanted people to hear his beautiful voice, and so I isolated, gave him that refrain on Bright Wings, and then he sang the duet with me on stages as well. But he's quite a talented young man, and I wanted to give people a taste of his voice before we or before I talk him into doing a record of his own. But he's just about finished his master's degree as an anthropologist, and I'm sure he's going to go on into a PhD program real soon. Mm-hmm. So I'm stealing him from academia.
I bet you're quite proud, though.
I am.
Very good.
So my dad made me go to college so I'd have something to fall back on, and I'm giving Gabe a way to make records so that if academia doesn't work, he'll have something to fall back on.
Well, let's hear a bit of Bright Wings.
Wandering children wherever we roam, vagabonds till we return to our home, trusting our instincts as futures we've known. Migrating dreams, shining wings to fly on. I met her in Nebraska. The fall had kissed the air. The snow goose had returned, so we decided to go there. On the plains by the Missouri, to watch their ancient flight, to gaze into mysterious clairvoyant wings of light. Bright wings that know a secret, bright wings that know a song, bright wings remembering a place where wild hearts all belong. Trust the darkness, bright wings on ancient flight, bright wings of searching souls together through a timeless starry moonlit night. Wandering children wherever we roam, vagabonds till we return our own, trusting our instincts as futures we've known, migrating dreams, shining wings to fly on. Photograph, she simply said no. You must create my image in you everywhere you go. In your heart, in your songs, in your thoughts, and in your breath. I'll be with you forever, or the snow goose may still be. Bright wings that know a secret, bright wings that know a song, bright wings remembering a place where wild hearts all belong. Bright wings that trust the darkness, bright wings on ancient flight, bright wings of searching souls together through a timeless starry moonlit night. Wandering children wherever we roam, vagabonds till we return to our own, trusting our instincts as futures we've known, migrating dreams, shining wings to fly on.
There's a line in that song I really like. Wandering children, wherever we roam, vagabonds till we return to our home, trusting our instincts as Futures We've Known from Bright Wings. I'm talking with Bobby Bridger about the new album, Vagabond Heart. Now, you wrote most of the songs, but you've got one Glenn Campbell song in there that's really good, Less of Me.
Uh-huh. Less of Me came about because of Morgan City, that's also on the record. And Morgan City was written by my mentor, the man who discovered me, Fred Carter Jr. Some may know him through his work, guitar work through Simon & Garfunkel and scores of country. If you listen to the radio in between the 60s and the 80s, Fred was probably playing on a good 20 or 30% of the records you heard. The Boxer, for example, Simon & Garfunkel, that beautiful guitar work. When we started out, I heard the Morgan City song way back in 1968, and I recorded it as a B-side of my second 45 release with Monument Records. And right at the same time, people don't know this, but as a general rule, but Simon and Garfunkel were playing. Simon was playing guitar, but during those early records, a lot of the guitar parts were played by either Glenn Campbell or Fred Carter Jr. And Glenn was, of course, known for his studio work with a group of musicians in L.A. known as the Wrecking Crew.
Mm-hmm.
Fred was a core member of parallel group in Nashville that was known as the Nashville Cats after the Loving Spoonful record. We cut Morgan City, and that was to be the B-side. But while they were working together, Fred was looking for a song for me and asked Glenn if he knew of anything, and Glenn suggested Less of Me, and Fred brought the song to me, and I ended up recording it. And right about that time, he just popped wide open on the music scene with Gentle on My Mind and By the Time I Get to Phoenix and all those massive, mm-hmm. beautiful big hits. And so everybody thought, oh, well, Bridger's got a Glenn Campbell song in the can. We cut Less of Me. And so that was the A side, and Morgan City was the B side. And then a little kind of a quirky thing happened, and somehow Fred knew Kris Kristofferson, and Kris was flying helicopters out of Morgan City, Louisiana, to take the oil field workers out to the oil rigs. And he talked Kris into taking the record down to Morgan City, and they got it on the air, and it turned into a turntable hit.
Great.
And it flipped the record around, and Morgan City turned into the hit. One of the last things Fred said to me before he died was, Bobby, you should do Morgan City again. And so when we went into the record, I said, I know I'm going to do Morgan City.
I wandered down to Morgan City. Got me a job where the money's big, drilling for oil on the bottom of the ocean, working like a dog on an offshore rig. I met a Creole girl there in Morgan City, and I just had to see her more. For 10 long days I'd dream about her until we turned the boats to shore. For it's 10 days out and 5 days in. A driller's life in Morgan City.
And while I was teaching the song to John Inman, Glenn Campbell had announced that he was doing this Swan Song tour because of his Alzheimer's disease. And in the middle of that tour, while John and I were working up Morgan City, he announced he was ending the tour because the symptoms of the disease had progressed.
Mm-hmm.
his bar, and it just kind of broke my heart that this, and here are these two guitar players that I just admired, and then John's this greatest guitar player in Texas, and so the three guitar players were just kind of in our minds, you know, with John and Glenn and Fred, and we started playing less of me, kind of, just kind of nodding and bowing to Glenn Campbell, yeah. You know, and
let me be a little braver when temptation bids me waver. Let me strive a little harder to be all that I should be. Let me be a little meeker with a brother that is weaker. Let me think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me, let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me.
Talking with Bobby Bridger about the new record, Vagabond Heart. Have you heard much about the new movie with Leonardo DiCaprio based on the life of mountain man Hugh Glass?
I have, and I have to say I'm quite excited about it. I wasn't excited about the first movie that was done about Jim Bridger and Hugh Glass. But this one bodes very well, and I kind of go back to the winter with it because I saw this movie this last winter called Birdman that Alejandro Iñárritu did with Michael Keaton, and it was about a guy in the theater just on his last legs chaos all around him, and it reminded me so much of when I put the first company of Seekers of the Fleece up in Cody in 1988, the year the fires broke out up there and nearly burned the park down, and I lost everything I had in that fire.
Wow.
I mean, literally, I lost six digits worth of money. So Birdman reminded me of what I was going through, Seekers of the Fleece. And then I find out that this same guy is making this movie about Hugh Glass.
And for those not familiar with Hugh Glass, of course, most well known for the grizzly bear encounter that he lived through and walked 300 miles. But a lot more to Hugh Glass than just that.
Yeah, quite a bit more. The story has occupied most of my adult life, ever since 1965 when I first stumbled on the story. But, of course, it had been around a long time before that. John Neihardt and a lot of other people had written about Hugh Glass. But this promises to be, and I hope I'm not just putting my foot in a trap with it because I haven't seen it. I've only seen the trailers to it, but it looks very, very promising. And it's so funny because when the first the Man in the Wilderness came out in 1972, right at the same time I debuted Seekers of the Fleece, and everybody thought, oh, Bridger saw that movie and ran home and wrote this epic ballad about Bridger overnight after seeing this terrible movie, and I'd worked 10 years on writing the thing. And so after the first trailer came out on The Revenant, I had probably over 300 email and Facebook messages, people saying, they stole your story.
Wow.
But of course, they just looked into history and found the Hugh Glass story. And Hugh is, that story is truly an American story. And I would suggest anybody who's really interested in Hugh Glass, and I'll put on my historian's cap now and suggest reading a book called Here Lies Hugh Glass by John Coleman that just came out a couple of years ago that puts forth a wonderful statement that Glass, the Glass story with the bear mauling represents something that pops up as a mythological icon on a generational American level.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come around every generation, same way Buffalo Bill does, the same way, and that's what the cycle song is about on the Vagabond Heart record. Heroes come and heroes go, but when the hero makes his exit, all you'll remember is the heart.
Pounding like a drum inside us, burning with life's push and guide us, they bring action to desire. The rhythm opens doors to vision, inspiring us to start. Listen to the drum of wisdom, following our times. There will appear a hero burning with life's fire, directed as the archer's arrow brings action to desire. His vision gives us wings of freedom, inspiring us to start. He dances to the drum of wisdom, following his heart. The cycle goes round. The cycle never ends. We think it's all.
Very good. I've been talking with Bobby Bridger about all kinds of things, having fun, and
good.
Artist, musician, producer. You've worked in, you've done everything. The scope and breadth of your work is quite incredible, and we certainly wish you best of luck with the new recording. And please do stop by when you're in the neighborhood.
Oh, I intend to. I always have. You guys have always been so nice to me there. Going all the way back to Don Woods, I used to visit with Don when he was there, and I even learned about the passing of Timberjack Joe while I was doing an interview with you guys on Wyoming Public Radio years ago, my old friend
mm-hmm.
up there. So, yeah, you guys have always been so nice to me, and I really appreciate it. And just I'd like to say hi to all my old friends up there.
Indeed.
A lot of dear friends in Wyoming.
And if people want to find out more information about the new record or all things Bobby Bridger, you have a pretty comprehensive website, right?
Yes, I do. I have a new website that's specifically devoted to the music, and that's BobbyBridgerMusic.com. And then there's my old archive website, which all the youngsters tell me is kind of old and outdated. Because I like to have a good library of what I've been doing for the past 50 years.
Yeah, you've done a lot.
There it is.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you so much. It's been a great pleasure talking with you. Bobby Bridger.
Thank you, Grady. Very, very nice talking to you, too.